topic. I mean, you know, kind of preach about sin or some temptation. I mean, you know, a little broad. The world, the flesh, and the devil. But let's be honest. Who's behind it? We know. Satan. And I'm going to quote from somebody who is definitely in his camp, Oscar Wilde, who once said, "I can resist everything but temptation." And boy, am I weak on that. I don't know about you, but this week I've already had a lot of battles in terms of temptation, in terms of all of that. But one thing I have to say before we go any further, and I'm going to get hopefully into some subtle points here. We may hate what Satan does, but I'm sorry, brothers and sisters, we got to admit he's good at what he does. He took one third of the hand-created, anointed messengers of the Lord God and got them to come with him. One third of them. So he is persuasive. Now, I know in the world that we live in today, when we look around it, he's being pretty blatant, right, with temptation. But he hasn't stopped being subtle. He'll do whatever works. And so I'm going to try to cover a few points that the Lord has lifted out to me. One thing he did was I went right away and I looked, you know, where Satan show up, or at least his minions. Now, the garden, the thing about testing Job, boy, that's a whole other message. He was tempting Job to curse God, what he was doing. His wife even said, "Why don't you do it?" Great support. And the third one is obviously his temptation in the wilderness. And that goes, that boy, that's a whole different message. All the way from subtle to blatant. He tries subtle at the beginning. He works through to blatant at the end. He is so good. So, we've got to follow through. And our brother C.S. Lewis once said, there are two errors that Satan likes to get us to fall into. One is to pay him not enough attention. And the other is to pay him too much attention. So let us not fall into either one. So let's talk about temptation to do bad. Okay? Next slide. Okay, so here's my scripture. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He'll not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way so that you can endure it. That same guy, Oscar Wilde, once said, the one way to get rid of temptation is to give in to it. Sorry, he's playing for the other side. And you don't. If you give in to it, it gets stronger. I can tell you that from my own experience in battling it and all kinds of ways, that is not what works. Resist, a way to endure it, and get away from it. So let's talk about a couple of them. Temptation avenues. Okay? First one, to do bad, like I said. And then the first example is going to be straight out flesh, indulgence. In the garden, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and was desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. Doesn't that sound like a mantra for the ad business nowadays? We try to make everything look good. Everything. Oh, and by the way, for some of you who never noticed this, later it then she says, turns and gave it to her husband. He was there. He didn't say no. Of course, he also was a great example right after that when God called him on it. He was the first guy who tried to blame two different people at the same time. It was the woman you gave me. He's blaming Eve and God at the same time. When we get tempted and fall to it, isn't that what we try to do always? I mean, but Selfish indulgence is what our world is pushing nowadays, right? You deserve a break today. Really? I never saw that. I mean, some of it. But there are other avenues, okay? And the next one is subtle. Anger. That's a temptation. Let me be quite frank with you. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will it not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Satan doesn't take anything from us. We give it to him. He doesn't lead us. We follow. I'm telling you from my own experience. I don't know about you, but that's how it works. And anger, by the way, anger goes right into another one, grumbling. Grumbling is just anger light. Okay? Just to let you know. Okay. The next one. You have heard it said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who's angry with a brother will be subject to judgment. And that includes grumbling and murmuring. Okay? Oh, good. Thank you so much. And I'm quite humble about the next one. It's one of my best qualities. Isn't that what C.S. Lewis brought it out in his Screwtape Letters? He said, which is a series of letters from a senior tempter to his nephew, first time tempting on earth. He says, has your victim noticed that they're humble? Have you brought their attention to it and let them have pride in it? And then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you're the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written. Pay attention, ladies and gentlemen. Satan is quoting Scripture. He is not above it. So whenever, as our pastor says, context, context, context. Don't just take the verses. He says, it is written. He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. What Satan is doing is saying, put God to the test. He won't ask us if we're the Son of God. He'll say, oh, if you're a Christian, this is what you should do. The world's doing that a lot. It's amazing how many people who've never even cracked open the Bible know exactly what a Christian should do. According to the world definition. So, oh, I could mention some other people besides this. Oh, there's some great ones in the Old Testament. In case you've never read, I think it's in Exodus 20, around there. Kohar, earlier, Miriam, Moses' sister, says, why are you so uppity up and talking to God? What about, she was struck with leprosy. Kohar and 250 other Israelites came to us and said, we're all the holy people of God. Why are you so important? The ground opened up and swallowed them. God really has a thing against pride. I mean, it is the first sin. Before we were around, Satan said, I will lift myself up. I will become like the Most High. There was even a movie who mentioned character playing devil said, that's my favorite. Okay, so here's the subtle. To keep us from doing good. That's a temptation. Especially in nowadays. Let's get to it. First one, distraction. Yay! Okay. One of those is distract us with anger. Again, I mentioned that. And in the morning you'll see the glory of the Lord because he has heard your grumblings against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us and against the Lord? That's, of course, again from Exodus. They were grumbling. Another one for distraction is pride. Satan rose up against Israel and incited David to take a census of Israel. You see, David had just become king, and he all of a sudden, Satan entered into him and had him count the number of fighting men. Now, obviously, this was bad because the Lord then said to him through a prophet, you got choices of three things for punishment. Number one, 3 years of famine. 3 months of your enemy coming at you. 3 days of a plague. And you know what David said? I am safer in the hands of the Lord. Let it be the plague, because he is merciful. And the angel came and started killing off 70,000 Hebrews. And the Lord saw it, and he repented, and he stopped the angel just outside Jerusalem. So you can be diverted. David was with pride. Divert is the next one. Satan used this one. Ready for this one? And the tempter came to him and said, if you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Remember, 40 days without food. He got hungry. It's a real need, right? I've got a real need. God, please take care of my real need. But is it God's priority? Are we following the will of the Lord right at that point? Or is it just our need? We might have a need, and the Lord knows it. He knows our needs before we speak. But is it his priority? It is written, you will not live, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus, after he gave sermons and people were hungry, he fed them. But he gave them teaching first. So watch the need and pray for it. But pray more that we do the will of the Lord and don't get diverted by a need that consumes our mind, and that's all I can think of is this need. And really, Lord, haven't we prayed about it? Isn't the Lord going to take care of it? But we just have to have faith. Don't be diverted. Don't spend all your time on the wrong thing. And of course, I couldn't call it anything else. Shiny. Oh, what is that? Oh, yeah, that movie Up with the dogs and everything. I just go, squirrel! We're like that. We've got that attention span with shiny. And when the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, and they gathered around Aaron and said, come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him. I love Aaron. You know how he avoided the problem and everything after Moses came down and challenged him on it? He had them give all the gold, and it says in Scripture he fashioned a golden calf. Oh, but when Moses confronts him, what does he say? Oh, the people came to me and begged, and all this gold, I threw it into the fire, and this came out. That's literally what it says. He thinks Moses buys this? The pure in heart, oh, bless his heart. Joshua, who's coming down the mountain with Moses, says, oh, I hear the sound of battle in the camp. And Moses says, that's not battle. Joshua, pure heart. Okay. Now, the other shiny I want to mention real fast is a smaller story shortly after that, when Joshua was leading them into after they'd done Jericho. And Achan had seen a shiny. He'd seen some shiny metal and robes. And because of that, the Israelites got trounced at the town of Ai. He got diverted by shiny. Good chance to make some money. Is it what the Lord wants? Are you being tempted to do the wrong thing? I mean, Satan is not always simple. I've already talked about subtle. I mean, the two of his, bread, cast yourself down. The third one, and the temptation in the wilderness, he's blatant. Look at all this. I have all this, all these, you know, towns, everything. It's all mine. I can give it to you if you so fall down and worship me. That's blatant. But that's what they're doing too nowadays to us, right? Everything they show us, the shiny they try to get us. It's incredible. But why does he keep doing it? Because it works. Still works with me sometimes. I hate to tell you, brothers and sisters. Still works with me. So let's go on to the next. How about today? I mean, that was the example I started with, you know. The ad agencies, everything. It's cars. The car ads. I bless the ones, the few, that talk about, oh, it's to get you from here to here. That's what a car's for. It's not to make you have some transcendental experience about luxury. I really love the one where some guy's in a luxury car. There's two highways. On this side, it's all gridlock, but he's got nobody, and he's driving along. You buy their car, you don't get caught in traffic anymore? That's what they're selling. I mean, drugs. Don't get me started on drugs because I watch TV. I'm old school. Okay. And they have drugs, you know, and stuff. And now they've started, all the drugs have started going to singing and dancing. You have to take a diabetes medication so you're doing a musical number? Gosh, I get more fun out of some of those, let me tell you. And the debt one. Oh, I love the debt one. What's in your wallet? A couple of tracks and a card to come to my church. Okay, let's not worry about that. I love the one. Years ago, I saw this one ad, a guy on a driving mower. He's driving around and he says, I own three cars and a beautiful house, and I'm drowning in debt. Somebody help me. And that's the first honest one I have seen. God. Whew. So we have information overload, right? It's like we're drinking from a fire hose because of the things that come to us every day with these little things that we carry around in our pocket. We have the world at our fingertips. Unfortunately, it's the world. Okay? I mean, yes, you can look up your Bible. Absolutely. But let's get a little more specific. We don't get the whole firehouse hose, do we? Next one. It's selected. Okay? Everybody who does the selecting wants your eyes and ears. The Lord wants your eyes and ears. But those people who select the media want your eyes and ears. Why? Well, various reasons. Let's try mainstream media. Those are, of course, the producers, the editors. What's the old saying that they used to say in the news business? Oh, yeah, if it bleeds, it leads. That's the kind of thing people want to see. Is the world in that terrible situation? No, but it's what's going to get you to watch and listen. So that's what we're going to give you. I thank so much that some local stations once in a while have good news at the end of their half hour. 5 minutes of good news. That's all it rates. 5 minutes. But they're nice. I like them. And don't think that social media is any better. No. Oh, Satan loves algorithms. I can just see Satan and his minions. One minion comes to him and says, look at this. If somebody gets tempted by something, this algorithm says that we'll send a lot more of that very same thing to them. And Satan says, good job. We already know it tempts them. That's what it's going to do. Okay? Influencers. So algorithms, influencers. Oh, I love it. The people who keep up with them, what are they called? Followers! Who are we following? Some guy who's getting money out of it? Isn't that just wonderful? Oh, and by the way, I love it. TV people and media people all went in front of Congress and said, we're just doing entertainment. We are not propagandizing. We're not convincing anyone of anything. Then they turn around to the advertisers and say, look, if we put in our movie this little can there, it's going to increase your sales because it's going to affect people. A can on the set, it's going to affect people, but the whole plot and what the thing tells you is not going to affect anybody. Talk about trying to have it both ways. We're not affecting anybody, but you pay us money and we'll put your product here, and yes, it will get your sales better. You'll get results. No result, yes result. And let me tell you, you know what FOMO means, right? Fear of missing out. That's what all that clickbait on the internet and everything is about. Oh, you're not going to hear about this. You're not going to see this. Is that where we're supposed to be spending our time? And I'm as guilty as everybody else sometimes for that. Lord, help me with it. I mean, really. I know the Lord will give us strength, as I said in the quotes. Now, we have the Word and the Lord. So, oh, classic FOMO. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. The first fear of missing out was in the Garden of Eden. Doesn't that blow your mind? Did mine when I realized it. You're missing out. Take this fruit and you will get more. Okay, what's ours? Christian filters, okay? The Word of God, okay? The written Word, absolutely. But the living Word is also. Jesus, have the Spirit talk to you. Anything that you're doing, take, I heard one of the best things, take 5 minutes. There's one thing that Diane set me onto, is this guy said, take 5 minutes before you start something. Is it what the Lord wants you to do? Really? Is what you should be doing right now? Hey, I'm not being a killjoy. I am not like Satan, who in the first thing he said in the garden is, God didn't tell you to eat from any of the trees. He's trying to make God out to be a killjoy. That's the first thing he ever said there through the serpent. Just like the world is trying to tell us. God doesn't want you to have any fun. You can't eat from any of the fruit. Oh, God didn't say that. Never did. So, talk to the Lord. He wants you to have good times. He will give you the best time. He will give you wonderful things. More than the media can give you or influencers or anybody else. So, go with the Word, both living and the Scripture Word. And the second thing is algorithm, accountability partner. Okay, we're getting real here. Best thing that ever happened to me was getting an accountability partner. My son is my accountability partner. Once a week, we meet, confess, talk about what we've done. That keeps you going through the week. If you say, am I going to do this? Am I going to tell my accountability partner? No, I think I'll. Good. Really good. Whoever it is, find yourself, brother and sister, an accountability partner and someone you can be honest with in the Lord. I tell you, it works wonders. It's not perfect because we're not perfect. Only God is perfect, but it does help a lot, a heck of a lot. So, in conclusion, Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 10:5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God and take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Our call, take every thought captive. Every thought. So, I would challenge myself, all of us, let's just take a blue moment, corporate prayer. Close our eyes, seek the Lord. Right now, what would you have us do? What would you have me do? What kind of filters and constraints should I set on myself? Let's just take 60 seconds right now. Everybody in your own heart, talk to the Lord and ask Him about that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Like I said, nothing I felt comfortable about doing. I hope that our hearts we do better. I pray a blessing upon the Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Make His kind of face shine upon you. Lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace, each and all of you, as you walk out the rest of this week. And thank you.